Hi, Kelsey.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. It's lovely to be chatting to you.
Very wonderful to be talking with you about this film. I was fascinated by the fix.
Aw, thank you.
So, very original. There are some to-be-expected dystopian concepts floating around. But I know some of your journey with this, going back to 2013, 15, somewhere in there.
Yeah, 2013.
Before we ever heard of a global pandemic, and you can't go outside, and you can't be around people. And this actually, even though this is toxic air, so to speak, it's very much the same premise.
Yeah, it's creepy, isn't it?
Yeah, you are very prescient. Very prescient in your storytelling here,
yeah.
Kelsey.
It was very surreal, and I keep joking. I keep saying this to everyone. I just wish I could have made the movie when I wanted to make the film between 2015 and 2019, because then I would always be seen as omnipotent. But now I'll only be seen as derivative. I really wish there could just be like a title card at the beginning of the film of like, by the way. Because most people will never know that it was written well before we ever had the pandemic as even a thought.
Well, we just have to make sure to let them know.
Thanks. Well, I'm very grateful to you.
So that we can gain your omnipotent status for you.
I would be in your debt forever.
I love the elements that you have in here. You start with that. Then you start slowly introducing these interesting characters, and through these characters, you're really giving us, there's great subtextual commentary here about image. You look at Grace's character of Ella, and I gotta say, Grace is a chip off the old block. My God, those Van Dyne jeans, they're carrying through.
Really, they are. And Starship Troopers was one of my favorite films when I was growing up, but I love how it all came full circle with her getting to follow in her dad's footsteps to come to Cape Town and shoot a movie.
The action sequences and her work doing action is so well done. But here we have a character who, she's a model, she's beautiful, she's trendy, even though she has to wear masks and respirators when she goes out. They're stunning and high fashion. Of course, she's very insecure. Do people love her? Do they grovel? Do they fawn over her because she's beautiful? Or is nepotism involved?
Yeah, exactly.
So you're bringing in these elements, and then as we see Ella transform after downing in her grief and her angst an entire vial of an illegal drug that she has no idea what it is or what it does, and we start seeing what it does, and her whole body starts morphing and mutating, and she thinks she is now hideous looking because everything has been so superficial. But you dig deeper in Ella, and as much as she is trying to hide, all it takes is one little boy to ask her, are you a fairy? Are you a good fairy? And the entire tenor of the film changes in that moment. So
I love that you said that. Yeah, I love that scene so much.
So beautifully structured, Kelsey. And to weave in all of these societal things that we see unfold every day on social media, on the streets, just in people we know. And you bring it all together here. Just so well done.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. I mean, we have such an exceptionally talented team, but my ensemble cast is really, I was so lucky to work with every single one of them on this. And, you know, it's really difficult when you're under pressure to be a commercial proposition and please the streamers in terms of having the right pacing to be able to grab people and hold their attention and not let it go. And oftentimes you don't feel like you're given much time to breathe, even if you want to, because you're so aware of shortened attention spans and wanting to keep a sense of propulsion action. And I really do love dropping people into the middle of things and then encouraging an audience to figure it out. And I just think it's a credit to all of the performances that they're so clearly giving all of this nuance and all of these clues and all of this backstory that it's bombarding you, and it's intended to feel overwhelming, sort of like, whoa.
Well, and, you know, this is where the performances, you've done such an amazing job casting, and the performances are so strong. And, of course, it's through those performances. Daniel Sharman, as O'Connor's the head of Athera, he is the epitome of slick corporate greed.
Wonderful. He was so good. But what I love about Daniel and why I was so glad we were able to work with him and cast him in this is he really, really got the complexity of the character.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like he has his own trauma. There's reasons O'Connor's is the way he is. And in some ways, it's not like all of the arguments are wrong. From his perspective, he really does believe he's doing the right thing. And having those shades of gray to sort of provoke conversation about these topics, I think, is really important. And I really thought he brought all of those layers.
He really does. And then you counter him with Kenan Arison as Solomon. What an incredible... Kenan just really blew me away, and what he does with the character and what we see in Act 3.
I'm just waiting for Hollywood to scoop him up. He's been killing it for years. He's so exceptionally talented, and every role he touches is gold. And he was attached to the Fix from the very beginning, from back in 2013. Shirley Adams. I'd fallen in love with his work in Shirley Adams. And it was like, we never let go of the dream. I'm sure, you know, there was a number of years you thought I was crazy. It was never going to... Actually, no, I'll take that back. There were some people who thought I was crazy and that this movie would never get made. And they weren't wrong for thinking that. I sometimes thought I was crazy. But Kenan always believed in me. And Kenan was always there. And he always supported and he always tried to help. He is a gem of a human being. And when we finally got to go, he was actually cast in another film. There was massive scheduling conflict. And everyone was like, we're going to have to recast, I was like, absolutely not. We cannot recast. We have to make it work. So funny anecdote, the reason he's in a mask in the lab the second time we meet him in the film is because he had a mustache for the other role, and we couldn't show him in the mustache. Because we shared him with the other shoot for 2 weeks, which was horrifically stressful. We built our whole schedule around it because it was like, he's been attached to this movie from nearly day one. We're not walking away now.
Wow. But he is just, I love that character, and Kenan is fantastic. And this sets up the whole idea of, for the good of humanity, is Solomon a Jonas Salk donating his own work for the good of mankind and humanity? You have so many elements at play here, Kelsey, and it's not done through exposition. It's so much of it is done through character development and the characters and their innate traits of who they are. And it's really lovely to see this play out that way, because then you're not wasting any time. And then we also get to really celebrate and relish what you give us in terms of action and the visual effects and the special effects makeup. The makeup job that gets done with the mutations and transformation on Ella, absolutely mind-boggling. It's terrific.
Thank you. We worked really hard. We worked with prosthetics. We worked with the effects. We wanted a marriage between the two. Originally, we wanted to do as much prosthetics as we possibly could. And then for scheduling reasons and casting change, actually, because we cast Grace about 2.5 weeks into pre-production, 3 weeks into pre-production. Which was terrifying. We had another actress on board at first, and Grace was like a miracle coming into our lives because we weren't sure what we were going to do when we lost our first actress. But we'd already done a lot of prosthetics prep with her. So when we had to pivot at the last minute, it was because of an unexpected scheduling conflict. It was one of those industry things. They were like, you're kidding me, right? With a streamer. Requiring exclusivity at the last minute for something. And it really hurts independent films.
Yeah.
We did everything we could, but we couldn't make it work. And when Grace sent in her tape, it was just like a vision. Because that is, you know, Ella's a very specific type of character, a very specific type of role.
And
there's so many talented actresses out there, but not many could hit all of the right beats that we needed for the character. And when Grace sent in her tape, we were just like...
Now, did you have in your mind the vision of how these mutations would look? You've got the claws that pop out. Yay. You've got spikes in arms.
I have to give a huge shout out to a phenomenal artist, Daniel Hugo in Cape Town. He is exceptionally talented. His art is on Instagram, and I can give you his handle. You can check it out. He also has numerous books, et cetera, and does a lot of work for different projects for concept work. And I had this vision of what I was hoping for Ella with I don't want to give it away, but with the DNA that is incorporated into the human genome.
Yes.
And I did an in-depth description to Dan and Hugo about what I was imagining and how it impacted her face. And I really wanted to play with inversions rather than protrusions in the skin. So having patternings that were indent rather than adding on, because mm-hmm. adding on is always is an easy way, right? And I wanted to create these subtle effects of indent. And Daniel totally got it. His Insta is Daniel Hugo Illustration, by the way, DanielHugo Illustration. And he completely understood. And then when I described the spines and coming out of her wrists, and I described everything, and we sort of like, I did like really rough, terrible sketches on my side, like that one, and then showed like him tons of references that I gathered of different visuals. And then he went away and he came back with just the most gorgeous concept art I have ever seen. To the point that like some of the like print and frameables, like absolutely beautiful. And then that became our Bible, that for every step of the way, prosthetics, makeup, visual effects, we were always sharing and showing this concept of art and like referring back, refer back, refer back, refer back. And it was the lifeline. It was the Bible.
Well, I have to say that the mutations that Ella goes through and the ultimate final shot of the film that we see, which means this is a nod to everybody listening, make sure you watch every frame of this film because there is something that will surprise you at every turn. I could see this as a graphic novel.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it would make a beautiful graphic novel. That would be lovely. If anyone wanted to do that project, I am available.
Yeah, there we go. We're always soliciting here.
100%.
Something that I love about you making this film is that your background comes into play on multiple levels here. Number one, you were a stunt woman for a number of years. That your work as a stunt woman clearly has been incorporated into some of your action sequences and the movements and things particularly involving Ella as a female. The other element of your background that plays big here. You directed a lot of music videos, and needle drops and music are really key to the energy level here.
Ooh, I love how you noticed that. Well spotted. Yes, you're the first person who's noticed. It's all very true.
So talk to me about bringing those two elements in particular of your own background into the fix, because this was incorporated not in the production stage. You had to be thinking with a stunt woman's mind while you're crafting Ella. You had to be thinking of music while you're writing this out, while you're working with your cinematographer, Sean Harley Lee, because the energy goes with your visuals. Your stunt expertise goes with the action sequences and Ella's movements. So talk to me about bringing you into those elements of this film.
Wow, what a great question. Thank you. I'm going to start with the music because I don't get to talk about it very often. And it is really important to me. This was a really interesting process from a blend of score and actual tracks that we licensed. Because it was really important to me that we licensed some tracks from really, really exceptional South African artists that were appropriate for the genre space to give them a platform. And just we have a couple of great tracks from South African artists. I'm so proud we got in there. But we also, didn't limit ourselves. We looked wide, and we know we needed the right emotional tonality across the board. But it is true, 100%, that I had a playlist for this film and that there are certain tracks that I have lived with for like 6-8 years that when I was then able to actually get the rights to them for the film, since I'd had them sort of in my mind for so long, when I was editing the proof of concept, like, you know, back in 2014, 2015, that to actually get the rights to them was a really, like, really big deal. And I was very, very grateful. But I work with a composer who is a really dear friend who I actually met at Tribeca Film Festival, I think back in 2008, something crazy mm-hmm. like that, Patrick Connell. And he is just, he's a genius. He is so exceptional. And he, what we always do, our process, he also does Glass House, and I put together the whole playlist in terms of the tonality and the mood and the different types of vibes, and I send them this Spotify playlist that I've made it, that's the title of the film. And then he listens and he absorbs, and then he just comes back and he just nails it. But that's Patrick's gift. And he really brings it. But because this is a very small independent film and we're so strapped for resources, Patrick was full-time on a much bigger series at the time he was composing for The Fix. And we also had these track requirements that we needed to get right. So sure. I was sort of like music supervising, even though I'm not a music supervisor, and then reaching out for help from anyone who was actually a real music supervisor to like help support new ideas. Because like we come across sections of the film where we needed a certain thing, and I knew we needed a really specific thing, and I didn't have anything for that section. So it ended up being quite a communal effort, let's put it that way, down to even our sound designer, who was just exceptional, David Isaisen at the Showmax. We ended up using a song from one of his bands for an action sequence at one point, because it just ended up being one of those things where we wanted to capture the spirit of the house parties and the youth that we were so close to us at a certain time, and wanted to get that in there, and finding it in all these like really surprising places was quite fun, but also just us being creative because of not having the resources to have a designated mm-hmm. music supervisor and a licensing budget to speak on. I mean, every single artist who licensed us tracks I had to sell them on the project first and show them a rough cut and advocate for the film because our fees were just embarrassingly low.
Let me hear your take on your work as a stunt woman, Kelsey, and yes, incorporating yes. that and the action sequences, which, by the way, not only is the performance of the action very appropriate and well done, but your cinematography, Sean's shooting of it, is fantastic.
Yeah, I know. I have the whole stunt family in Cape Town to thank for that. They taught me everything I know. But there's a very specific way to cover action to actually make it land and to feel as dynamic and impactful as possible. And I learned all of that from my time in stunts and just observing and being, you know, in the frame, and then taking a step back and seeing what camera did, and also seeing sequences that work and sequences that don't. A lot of times, if you cover something too tight, you'll lose it. There are certain tricks and camera movements of when to push in and when to pull out to really deliver an impact. And that was something that I, you know, Sean and I worked closely together on, and also previs and rehearsaling with the stunt performers to mm-hmm. make sure that we were that camera was helping support the action every step of the way. It's a dance, I always say. It's a dance, and the cinematographer is part of that dance. Every stunt sequence is a dance in its choreograph, and every beat is hugely important to get right, to get the pacing right, and you have to end that, and then incorporating with rehearsal, you include camera in that dance. And that goes back to music as well, because editing, I've always edited to music, and music is so important to me, and I had that in mind with the edit of this film. All along. For me, everything ends up being a dance.
Quickly, did you work with your fight coordinator, with Matthew Van Leeuw? Did you work with him on the actual fight sequences and design of them?
Yes, I did. So I have a number of, we have a number of stunt coordinators on the film, but the fight choreography that Maddie did, I've known Maddie for years. We were in boot camp together for Mad Max Fury Road. He is an exceptional gem of a human being and a natural actor. And I said, Maddie, someday I'm going to make the movie and I'm going to give you dialogue. You're amazing. And it was a dream come true to be able to actually do that. With Maddie and I, we've known each other for so long that we have a bit of a shorthand. He knew what I wanted, intrinsically knew what I wanted, and we talked through some beats, and like I talked a little bit about the look and the feel of what I was going for, but then it was a matter of like, he's a genius. I can just step away. Him and Russ McCarroll, also exceptionally talented performer, choreographer in his own right. But they worked out different sequences. Also, with the fight in the bathroom, Maddie worked that out with the guys and then come back and show me some options. And then I steer and guide those options for the performances and the character and also for camera. But it's sort of like you're walking through the beats you need. It's like, okay, I know I need this punch here. I know I need this flow here, like as scripted. But how do we design this sequence to be as dynamic and interesting as possible? Because it's like anyone, you know, two punches, whatever. All right, how do we do something different here? How do we do something a little bit unique? How do we make sure that we're capturing as much in the frame as we can of the different characters' reality and emotional experience? And then we experiment with a couple of different approaches always. And that's something that, you know, Maddie and Russ as well, and everyone who worked on Salma Craig, are exceptional at.
Well, Kelsey, job so well done on The Fix. I can't wait to see what you do next. I hope you give us more of, in your future films, worlds like this that say so much.
I'd love to. I am available and hoping very much to get to build more worlds, I think is the right way to put it.
Kelsey, thank you. This has been so great getting to speak with you this morning.